Good morning. It's Sunday morning. This is probably one of my favorite times of the week just because I get to hang out with everyone and hear what God has been doing in your life. And we are in week four of our Galatians series. And this one of my favorite parts about Sunday morning messages is when I get emails from people who said, you said something wrong last week. But it was good because somebody messaged me and said, by the way, Jesus was not sacrificed on Mount Moriah. It was Golgotha. I'm like, yes, I knew that. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. So for any of you who were taking notes last week and went, wow, that's so interesting that he was sacrificed on the same hill as Isaac, that's wrong. All right, and I think I put it up there on the screen so you can see it for certain. So Isaac was sacrificed on Mount Moriah, and Jesus was crucified on Golgotha. All right? That being said, I do appreciate, like, this is why I want you to listen to what I'm saying so that you can, like, catch me up on stuff, because I don't want you all going away thinking, well, whatever Jen says is true. God gave us a mind, so I want you, that's why I want you to take notes. If there's a question, feel free to Google during the sermon if you feel. I do it all the time. If I'm sitting there and somebody's up here and they say something, I'm like, is that true? And I Google it, I read it, I'm like, oh, it's true. And I keep moving on. All right? It is so important to engage your brain and you're not thinking, oh, this is a really good time to nap, unless you've worked hard really all week long and this is the first time you've sat down, then I'll let you nap. I'm just saying. Growing up, we had a lot of farmers in our church, and the only time that farmers really get to sit down is during church. And so I had no problem with them napping. It made sense. I'm like, just rest in the Lord's presence. But if you are not a farmer, no napping for you today, all right? I'm just saying no napping, and I'm just excited about what we get to talk to, what I get to talk to you about today and what you get to think about and what is the Lord saying. As I said, we are in week four of our Galatians series. So week one started off with what is the good news? So reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father. So the good news is that we were separated from God, but Jesus came and he rescued us from that kingdom of darkness, and now we can be with God eternally. So that's how we started off in Galatians 1, knowing what the good news is. Galatians 2 went into, and Pastor Mike did a great job of reminding us that sometimes we forget. And Peter had literally forgotten what the good news was and how we were to walk it out. And he was turning back and hanging out with the Judaizers who were saying that you needed good works plus Jesus, rather than just Jesus alone. And so in chapter 2, it goes like this. A man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. So we are justified just as if I had never sinned. That's what justified means. We are justified by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not Jesus plus good works, just Jesus. And then last week we looked at this concept of, well, I'm in the kingdom now. By grace I have got here, and then I need to work it out for myself. And we're like, no, that's not it either. And the verse from chapter 3:2 says this, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? And A.W. Tozer puts it like this, which I thought was great. He says this, if we are not changed by grace, then we are not saved by grace. So we are changed by the power of God working in and through us, not by works, not by anything that we could do. It doesn't matter how good we are. The goodness is not what changes us. It is the Holy Spirit working inside of us to change us. The Holy Spirit. Grace. God's grace. And so I made a little chart for you last week. It goes like this. When we think that it's works that keeps us with God, it leads to us doing some good things. And then we have to ask the question, well, how much is enough how much is enough? And so that leads to fear, because we're not really sure how much is enough, which leads us to doing more works and more good things and asking this question, well, how good is good enough? How good is good enough for me to actually stay in the kingdom? We forget that it's God's grace that holds us there, and putting our faith in Jesus Christ, which means next. Yep. Believing what God says he would do. So we spent some time last week thinking about, well, who is God and what did he say? Because it's so important to know who God is and what he said, because then that leads to peace. And peace leads to faith and believing what God said he will do. And so that's where we left off last week, is this idea that it is continual faith in Jesus Christ and letting the Holy Spirit do the work to bring about the good things that God wants in us and for us. It's not us doing it, working at it, thinking, I have to do this. It's the Holy Spirit who moves in us and brings about the change. And so, there is more good news. It's not just about, I was in the kingdom of darkness, separated from God, and now I'm with God, I'm in heaven. Which is the gospel. But Jesus said this really cool thing in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and life to the full. So it's not just life. It's not just life, it's a full life. Okay? I want you to do this. I know, in case you didn't exercise this morning. Okay. Put your hands up. Okay. Are y'all there? Don't worry. Jesus did not come that we would have just this life. He came to give us this life and life to the full. Put your arms out. All right? I know. Don't hit anyone in the face. We don't have that kind of insurance. All right? This is the kind of life Jesus came for you. He came to give you this and this. All right? I want you to get this picture in your head, because this is what I'm talking about today. We live in this life. We live in this life. And I don't know about you, but God actually created our arms to do this. This is what he has come to give us. This is the more good news that we're going to talk about today that we are not experiencing. And this passage from it starts in chapter 3 and goes into chapter 4. You'll see a jump where the dot, dot, dot is. It says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so he could adopt us as his very own children and into our hearts. Oh, and because we are his children, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic name meaning dad. It's that close relationship. Father can sometimes seem really distant. Abba is like that intimate thing, like it's daddy. All right. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. I have read this so many times and just skipped over it. I wasn't really thinking about what it meant. And there's three words that stand out in this passage that stood out to me as I read through this. It goes like this. Next. So faith, when we put our faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, we become a child of God. I want you to say that together. Child of God. All right? When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become a child of God, which means three things. First one is this. We have been adopted. That's what it says in verse 4:6. To legally take another person's child into your own family and take care of him or her as your own child. That's what adoption means. To take someone else's child and make them your own. Some of you have actually participated in doing that, taking someone else's child and they've become your own. Or maybe you have been the adopted one and someone took you on as their own. So there's no blood relation necessary here. It's taking another person's child and they become your own. That was the first word. The second word was belonging, to be a member of, to be included in, to be part of. That's in verse 6. Now that we belong to Christ, we have a part of. That's why we say we are God's family, knowing, growing, serving in the love of Christ. It's about belonging. It's about welcome. It's about doing family together. We belong. We belong to each other. So that was the second word that stood out. But the third one was heirs. This is in verse 7. One who receives property, rank, title, or office, or is entitled to receiving something from a parent or a predecessor. We become heirs when we put our faith in Christ, we become a child of God. We are adopted. There's a sense of belonging. There's a place for us. I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to say that again because someone needs to hear that this morning. There's a place for you. There's a place, and right now the enemy is saying that's not true for you. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That's not true. There's a place for you. In this family, in the kingdom of God, there's a place for you. There's a place for you. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now for those people that are really struggling with finding their place in your kingdom. And Lord, I stand in the gap for that person who's struggling. Where the enemy is trying to tell them that they don't belong, that they are unwanted, that they are unworthy. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you said, you are my child. Help them to take those words and put them in their hearts and in their minds this morning. That they would receive that truth, that there is a place for them in your family. And I ask this in your name. Amen. So the verse from John, and I love this, right at the very beginning of John 1 says this. Next. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So it's not just Paul who is saying. So Paul wrote most of the New Testament in the form of little letters to all the churches. John was one of the apostles seeing Jesus face to face. And this is what he wrote. So we have two witnesses that say the exact same thing, that we become a child of God. So we get to move from this kingdom of darkness, where there's darkness, anxiety, death, anguish, confusion, fear, and rejection. I know some of you have seen this, but this is probably my favorite way of conveying this. And this is what God is calling us to. Peace, love, life, healing, hope, abundance, belonging, that we are his heir, wholeness, joy, truth, and strength. And the only way to get from one to the other is Jesus, by putting our faith in Jesus. And so when he laid down his life and we said yes to him by believing in what he did, we are moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light through faith in Christ. That's how we get there. Not because of anything that we do, but because of everything that Jesus did. We just have to believe that he did it. We just have to believe that he did it. Moving us from this kingdom of darkness to this kingdom where God is. And so our inheritance is intimacy of relationship with God and his presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we get to inherit. Presence of holy and perfect God. And we went over some of that last week in chapter 18 of Psalms, where it talked about a little bit about who God was. And I encourage you all to take the Exploring Christianity course. It's a great opportunity just to learn more about God. And we went over some of the names of God this past week, declaring who he was, our shepherd, our provider, our defender, our shield. To get to hang out with God. This is our inheritance. And we do that through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Which goes back to what Galatians 3 said. You appropriate life in God by just continually inviting the Holy Spirit, which is what we sang this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We need you to move us along so that we can appropriate. I'm going to say appropriate a lot. It means take hold of. So we can take hold of everything that Christ has for us. But there's a problem. There's a disconnect, in fact, because we can know in our head something, but our heart doesn't seem to be picking it up. And one of the easiest ways of depicting this is I was at Dan and Alicia Hoover's last night for supper, and they're dog sitting. They're dog sitting. That's nice, people who dog sit. Anyhow, dogs are nice. I just really don't want one. So I'll visit. I'll even dog sit. But I just, dogs are nice. This dog that they're dog sitting was a rescue dog. Not as in like they went out and saved people, but it needed to be saved. And so this dog actually is 7 or 8 years later is still dealing with the repercussions of its first home. So it has great anxiety and fear, and it wants to be as close to Dan as possible. Kids, doesn't want the kids. Wants to be with Dan because it feels safe with Dan. It's so interesting. I'm like, he doesn't even know you, but he feels safe with Dan because of the anxiety, right? So even though he's been in a loving, caring home for many years, it still has all of this baggage from its previous life. It has gone into that dog's mind, and it has damaged that dog's spirit. Even though it's in a loving, caring house now. And the same thing happens with us. We're going to show a video from the movie Annie, where she's invited to come and be with the Warbucks billionaire, and she says, well, she's in mind, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, let's just watch the video, and you'll see what her response is, because she just doesn't get it. Here she was invited, if you've seen the 1984 version of Annie, like, that's a big house. And here she is invited to come in to enjoy. And she her response is, I don't know how to enjoy, I only know how to work. And when we come into the kingdom of God, that's sometimes our mindset because of the damage that has been done earlier in our lives. The disconnect between our head and our heart comes, and I want to say this, it says, in our head, you can say yes to all the right theological statements about God, but in your heart, your belief is based on your personal experience with your earthly father. I wish I could change it, but I can't. I have talked with way too many people for this not to be true. The way that we perceive God is based on our relationship with our earthly father. I had a friend of mine who never knew his dad. His last memory was of his father was when he was a little boy, and he says, I don't even know how to be a dad. I've had people around me to show me, but that's not the same as having your own dad show you. And so he's had to figure out what life looks like based on a dad experience he had earlier on. And so the disconnect comes from this. Next. Experience. As a result, we have a belief about ourselves, and that belief about ourselves helps us to understand or not understand, gets a little warped, about what God believes about us. So next. If you had an uncommunicative dad, just did not talk to you, then you're going to think that you don't matter. And then you're going to think that God doesn't want to talk to you. It's so true. My dad was the strong silent type. He didn't say a whole lot. And so in his mind, he's like, well, if you just are doing the right thing, I'm not going to say anything. And so I really only got words of, well, it could be a little bit better. But I never got the, well, that's a really good job done. Well done. Check mark. Well done. Way to go. You're doing great. It was more like, well, it could be a little straighter. You could have done a little better. So in my mind, I'm like, the only words I'm going to hear from God are, it's not quite good enough. you could have done a little bit better. So that goes into your heart, and you think you will never, ever be good enough for God. Or how about this one? Distant. So then you think, well, I'm insignificant, and God couldn't possibly care about me. Or this one. Maybe your father was neglectful, and so you feel, as a result, your needs don't matter, and God will not take care of you. So if you had a father that didn't take care of your needs, then it's going to be really hard. And I've seen this, especially in women with a non-existent father. All of a sudden, they believe they have to look after themselves, they have to care for themselves, they have to defend themselves. And when you speak into this, they're like, well, I've just always had to do this, so how could I possibly believe that God would look after me when my earthly father didn't look after me? Or this one. If you had an abusive father, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally, I can't trust people, and so I certainly can't trust God. Because if I can't trust my own father, then how am I going to trust God? Or non-tactile, doesn't hug, doesn't squeeze, doesn't kiss. Am I unclean? Is there something wrong with me? And so as a result, you're going to believe that God doesn't actually want to be near you because there's something like physically wrong with you. Or what about this one? Unloving. Am I not loving? Am I not lovable? And so you can believe that God couldn't possibly love you because your father didn't love you. And this last one. Now there's a whole list, and I just picked out a few. High expectations. I must perform to gain acceptance. God will only accept me if I get everything right all the time. This is one I've had to deal with my entire life, because I remember bringing home a paper and I had 87% on it, and my dad, instead of, he said, what happened to the other 13%? What's really interesting is that caused me to strive even harder so I could hear the well done. And so it's never really quite good enough. So failure's not an option. And I'm going to work really, really hard so I can hear the well done. And so in my relationship with God, it can make it seem like it will never be good enough. And God and I have these conversations, and he's like, I want you to admit that you're trying to please me. And I'm like, but what are you going to do with that? And he's like, I want to change the way you think. Because I'm going to love you because I love you, not because of the things that you do. And so how do we repair this disconnect? Well, first of all, you need to ask God if there is a disconnect. If you have a 100% great relationship with Jesus, I am so glad. If you're experiencing the fullness of life like this much, I am so glad. I want to experience this, and I know he's called me to, and I feel like it's growing. But I'm not quite here yet. And so I have to ask God where the disconnect is, if there is a disconnect. And the second thing is that I actually need to agree with him that there's a problem. Right? That's probably one of the hardest things to do, is actually to agree with God that there's a problem. Because then the next question is, well, what do I have to do to fix it? You have to forgive those who've hurt you. You have to forgive that person who's caused you to think that those thoughts about yourself. You have to ask God to break the power of those lies in your life that you've been believing and that you've been striving for your entire life. You have to forgive that person. And I know that my dad grew up in a family of 11 kids. I know that his dad died when my grandfather was 40 and my dad was 11. I knew that my grandfather was an alcoholic. I knew all these things that my dad dealt with. That doesn't change the fact that even though my dad didn't grow up with a good dad, my dad tried really hard. He wasn't perfect, and the imperfections are what affected me. I love my dad. And a woman once said to me, at what point are you going to take your dad down off the pedestal so you can actually receive the healing that God has for you? Because in my world, my dad was perfect. So I wouldn't actually allow God to speak to my heart about the things I wasn't experiencing because I hadn't taken my dad down off the pedestal. And once I did that, it didn't stop me from loving my dad. It just helped me to say, okay, God, I realize that maybe my dad's not perfect. So how do we move forward in this? And that's when healing comes, is when we actually admit something is wrong. We agree with God. We forgive those people who have hurt us. And we let God reveal his truth to us. So I want to show this video to you, which basically is one gentleman. He went through the scriptures because he was talking with the Lord and he picked out all the things that God said he was. And we sang a song this morning called Who You Say I Am. Because I think for some of you, you need to receive this truth this morning about who God says you are. If you want to close your eyes, you can. If you want to watch the video, you can. But my prayer for you this morning is that as you watch this, that you would receive the truth into those places that just seem so hurtful. Because God wants you to experience the fullness of life, the fact that you really are an heir of his, that you belong, that he has adopted you. But we have to receive that truth first. So here it is.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles, When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God.
A.W. Tozer says this: an infinite God can give all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others. Because as you watch that video, you might have said, well, that might be true for some, but not for me. Or you might have said, well, you know, God's always been my shepherd, but my defender, my provider, I don't know. But this quote reminds me that all of who God is offered to each of us. All of who God is offered. That's why he says, I've come that you might have life and life to the full. That's all of God. All of him. And so the question is, well, how do we respond to this message? How do we respond to this? I don't know. I think it's one of those things where we need to sit with the Lord and say, God, what is the truth in this? How do I appropriate? How do I take hold of this truth? Could you show me where I am not experiencing life to the full? Could you show me where my own actions from my Father has affected me and how I understand who you are? Would you show me who I need to forgive so that I can experience the fullness? Because God has so much for us, and this is what Paul in Galatians keeps coming back to. It's not about your works. It's not about Jesus plus. It's simply about Jesus. Period. God loving us and sending his Son to die on the cross for our sins that we may be right with him. And then he doesn't leave us on our own to experience the kingdom on our own. He gives us the Holy Spirit that we can experience life to the full. The full. I want the full. When he says be joyful always, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks all the time, I want to be able to experience all that. So I want to say, God, I want to experience that. Would you help me? And so prayer rails are available. You can come forward. People will come, church family. If you see someone up here and you come, you pray for them. But the prayer rails are available. You come forward and you just say, God, something's not right. And I need you to tell me what's not right. I start a lot of prayers off like that. God, I just know something's not right. Could you show me what it is? Because sometimes we think we have to know what the answer is before we actually talk to God. To say, God, I just know what, it's not right. I'm not experiencing your belonging. I'm not experiencing your peace. I'm not experiencing what it means to be fully adopted by you. Would you help me? Would you reveal to me why I'm not? The prayer rails are also available if you want to come forward and pray for someone. Then you can come forward. But we need to respond to what God is saying in our hearts so that you don't leave this place the same way as when you came. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then today is the day, because he has this he wants to give you. This bigness, this amazing, abundant life. But the first step is, I choose to believe that I am sinful, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins so that I could be moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And now that I'm in the kingdom of light, I want to experience the fullness of it. So I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, and then we're going to ask Jesus to do his thing. All right? So, dear Lord Jesus, we come to you, and you know where every single person's at. You know where every single person's at. So, Holy Spirit, do your thing. Help us to respond to you. What is it, Lord, that's in us that is preventing us from experiencing the fullness of your kingdom? And then, Lord, keep the devil away so we can respond to your truth. He wants to come and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you have come that we would have life and life to the full. And so, Lord, as we sing, may the truth of those words go deep in our heart, into deep soil. And when the thorns of this world is trying to squeeze out our joy, Lord God, help us to surrender that to you this morning so that we can live the life that you've called us to live in the fullness of belonging to you. In your name, amen.